Today, the title of the sermon is Sanctify Them by the Truth or in the Truth. Your word is the truth. Jesus is praying, and Jesus is praying now. Jesus is praying for you. Let that sink in, because if somebody's praying for you, that's a great thing, isn't it? Jesus is praying for you. What is he praying for? He's praying that you would be sanctified. Wow, that sounds so religious. What does that mean? This is what it means. He's praying that you would be separated. Or distinct or different from the rest of the world. That's what he's praying for. I mean, I don't know whether you care about that, but that is what he's praying for. He's praying that you would be separated and different or distinct. And that's his prayer. He's praying that there is a clear distinction between you and the world. That's what he's praying for. He's praying for different separation between Christ's people and the rest of the world. And we've been talking about this. How do you do that? How do we separate? How do we make them distinct? How do we make them different and sanctified? By the truth. By the truth. In the truth. Now, here's the big question then. What is the truth? What is the truth? That's what the humanity and the world is searching, seeking, asking. Everyone believes what they believe is true. I think that's what people do. Can I have that, the pointer? Because I want to share something. But do you know whether you believe in the truth or not? How do you know what you believe is true? That's a real question, good question, isn't it? Quoting from Carson, D.A. Carson, a New Testament scholar, the moral overtone in our English word holy and sanctification emerges only at that point. Ideally, if someone is set apart for God and God's purpose alone, that person will do only what God wants and hate all that God hates. That's what it means to be holy, sanctified. Actually, that wasn't the one that I wanted to share. Jim Boyce. Okay, I think this one has a little bit more kick to it, I think. You'll know what I mean. Has God spoken to God's people in this book, referring to the Bible, okay, his word? Then we must be clear and say, let God be true and every man a liar. Oh, that's a strong statement, isn't it? Can I just ask you, is God true? What does that mean? True, by definition, is something that which is in accordance with fact and reality. God is real, reality. Am I a real and reality to you? How many of you say amen? Pastor Paul Chung is a reality. Could you say amen? Oh, man. I'm hurt. You guys. Okay, I'm going to ask one more time because I do want to make a point. How many of you say Pastor Paul Chung stand in a pulpit is a real reality? Would you say amen? Still not that great, but it's okay. But let me ask you, is God real? Is he a reality? Absolutely reality. In fact, even before you are ever reality, he was a reality. What does that mean? I think I might be the oldest person in this room. Before I was born, nobody was a reality in this world. Do you agree? You weren't reality, but God was a reality. In fact, he is the reality of all realities. He's the origin of all realities. He had no beginning. You had a beginning. Someone just turning 30, right? Only 30 years ago, you became a reality in people's mind. But God had no beginning. In fact, heaven and earth had no, heaven and earth didn't exist because of his existence and reality, everything came else came into being. Is that a fact? Is that true? So is God real? Let me ask you more a poignant question. Is what you believe, do you believe what you believe is really real? What does that mean? How many of you believe afterlife? Would you say amen? A little bit more than existence of Paul Chung. Great. Well, Bible says it's a reality. Whether you see it as a fact, whether you see it as real or not, it's a reality. Okay? Very, very important. He's praying that sanctify them by the truth. If you don't know the truth, you're not going to be sanctified. You're going to live just like the rest of the world. In fact, you may be the world. Okay? So the real question is, what is truth? And that's what the whole humanity and the world is asking for right now. A man was lost. Could you picture with me? Someone is lost. He just doesn't know how to get home. Okay? And there are three paths. 1, 2, 3. They look kind of similar. But only one way will lead me home. The other two look kind of similar, but it's not going to take you home. In fact, if you follow the other two paths, you're going to be lost and really lost. Okay? Now think about it. You pick one, and you walk on that path 10 years and 20 years and 30 years thinking that this is leading home, only to find out when your life is done, instead of it takes you home, you're completely lost. You're way lost. Then what happens? Right? Then what happens? John chapter 17 is the prayer of Jesus. And that's not a sporadic activity our eternal King is doing, but that's a central activity as a high priest. He just completed his last sermon and message to his disciples, whom he loved, before he go to the cross. In other words, he's going to die. But he finished this sermon, with this stunning statement or the promise. What was that? This was how he ended his sermon. In this world, are you listening? In this world, you will have troubles. But take heart. Be courageous, for I have overcome the world. That was a promise because that didn't happen yet, but he has spoken as if it has happened already. Now, can I just ask you, did it come true? Was it true? Was he bluffing? Was he lying? Did it come as a fact and reality, or is it a bluffing? Is that a lie? Is Jesus truthful? How truthful is he? And a final question is Jesus' word true or truth? Okay, that's where we want to be today, because you really want to know whether you are on the right track or not. You don't want to take the wrong path all your life thinking that it's going to take me home, only to find out you're eternally lost, right? Can you imagine that? Today, in John chapter 17, today's passage, I think is one of the most important places in the Bible. I really mean it. It's one of the most important places in the Bible for you to really get it and understand it. Because it speaks about you, who you are, and what your life is about. You miss that, you miss the whole thing, I think. The most important place. And these three verses in John chapter 17, Jesus is finishing up his prayer, praying for the 11 apostles or disciples. What did he pray for? Four things. Three we talked about last week. Today we want to talk about just one thing. Okay? Last week we talked about Jesus prayed for the disciples that they may be one. Are we one? Is church one? Or is church fighting? He's also prayed that these disciples may have my joy, Jesus' joy filled in them. Are you joyful? What would take your joy away? Right? And then he also prayed that they may be kept from the evil one, Satan. the enemy. We talked about that. Okay, I'm just going to, you know, pass that aside. If you want to listen to it again, you could go to our website, and I encourage you to listen, because this is what Jesus is praying for and desires of you. And today, the fourth and last one, sanctify them. Okay, which means separate them. Make them different. Make them distinct. Make them distinct and separate for a purpose. That's what he's doing. Okay, so fourth petition of our great high priest, and that's what he's doing right now. And he's praying for his people, and it begins with verse 16. Okay, verse 16. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Identity. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Again, these two verses clarifies about Christianity or the Christian life more than any other places that I know. I really mean that. And first thing is, they are not of the world. Identity. Okay? Just as I am not of the world. The word just as is kathos, which means equivalent to. Meaning, disciples of Jesus are equivalent to, not of the world, as Jesus is not of the world. Okay? I'm taking you back to John 18. And there is a conversation between Pontius Pilate and Jesus. And this is the most... really stimulating, such an interesting conversation between Pilate and Jesus. Okay? Now, Pilate asked him, "Are you a king? Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus stated, "My kingdom is not of this world." So he's saying, "Yes, I am a king, but my kingdom is not of this world." But I want to introduce what he said afterwards. And then he said to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world, but for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I came into this world." What does that sound like? For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I came into this world. What does that sound like? A purpose of life. Mission statement, if you would. Okay, so what is the purpose? What is the mission statement of Jesus? Why did he come? For this purpose I came into this world. I am not of this world. I'm a king, but I'm not of this world. But I came into this world for this purpose. I was born for this purpose. What was that purpose? He says, to bear witness truth. Okay, to bear witness to the truth. And what follows is even more staggering. You know what he says afterwards? Everyone who is of the truth will listen to me. Can you just think about that for a second? We're asking the question, what is truth? Right? What is truth? And I hope you're believing what is truth. I hope you're not in a wrong path. Don't you hope that? But how do you know what is the truth? Right? But Jesus is saying, I'm not of this world, but I came into this world, and I was born into this world so that I may bear witness to the truth, ho aletheia, with a definite article. Not truth, a truth, but the truth. And then what follows is even more amazing. Everyone who is of the truth will listen to me. Are you people of the truth? Right? So the disciples, according to Jesus, the word of God, or the truth, is not of this world. If you are a disciple of Jesus, you are not of this world. That's a fact. That's a reality. Regardless of what you think, right? So we see the clear demarcation or the separation between the disciples and the rest of the world, right? My kingdom is not of this world, just as our kingdom is not in this world. Is that true? Is that real? Is that reality? Okay? So Jesus' prayer, in light of that, is this prayer. Sanctify them. Separate them. Make them different. made them distinct for a purpose. And how do you do that? By the truth. And then he defines it. Your word. Jesus Logos is the truth. It's pretty amazing. Okay? Verse 17 is the key verse, and I want to think about three things. Number one, sanctify them. Number two, what is truth? Number three, your word is truth. But I'm going to talk about the second one first, because it makes sense, because without knowing what the truth is, I don't think we could talk about sanctification or sanctify separation. So let me begin with two, and then three, and then we're going to talk about sanctify them. What is truth? Can someone state it? What is truth? Right? What is truth? Where do we begin? Where do we even begin with this question? And last Friday, we had a very, very good topic of truthfulness of God. And we talk about this question. Where do we begin with the question? What is truth? There are two options, people. Think with me, two options. Option number one, it starts with me. It starts with I. My knowledge, my understanding, my perception, my intuition, my imagination, my knowledge that I gained over the years. How else would you do it? Right? That's where you begin. So should we say we start with the news? Should we say we start with the information that is available in our world? Where do you gain the information? I mean, Google. Google answers everything these days, right? Or YouTube's. Type what is truth, and you will find something. Is that true? What would you find in Google? Is that true? What else? What else are there? Books, YouTube's, Google, movies, novels. What people say. Are you comfortable with that? Are you want to take that chance of which path to take, placing your life on the line that you're going home, right? I'm not sure. How about the news? Can you go with Fox? Can you go with CNN? Can you go with BBC? Can you go with Newsmax? Are you comfortable with that? What is the truth? What is the truth? Okay. Try something deeper. How about philosophies? How about ideologies? Socrates, Plato, American poets, ancient Buddha religion, astrology. Are you comfortable with that? That's the truth? What about postmodernism? Is that true? Never came into being like 100 years ago. Nobody talked about postmodernism 100 years ago. What about Marxism? What about it? Is that true? Are you comfortable with that? Right? Not sure, right? Not sure, not confident, and I would not put my life on the line with all those. Option number one, that's where you come to. Not sure. There is option number two, the second option. Second option begins with God. It doesn't begin with you, it begins with God. Now hold a moment, okay? Since you have no answer, by taking option number one, we might as well try option number two. You begin with God and His Word. And that's the biblical position. If you look at the Bible, it doesn't start with you. It starts with God. It ends with God too. Pretty clearly. Bible says He is the true existence of all existence. What about, it's not really science, what you learn in school. Where do you begin? What is the origin of life? How scientific is that? People say the origin of life is matters without any life. So basically the theory is that life came from no life. Everything came from just nothing. Does that sound like a truth? Life came from no life? Does that make any sense? But here's a better question. Is this scientific? Scientific means something you could repeat empirically and you could reproduce it. I don't think you could ever reproduce it. In other words, the beginning, the very origin of science and evolution is very non-scientific. I'm not sure whether that is true. In fact, I'm pretty sure it is not true. Okay? So either you take position of the scripture where option number two, it begins with God, or it begins with nothing, you're going to have to take the step of faith. But people don't even think about it. So we're taking option number two, and just 1 second. I want to talk about what is truth, and I want to begin with one verse from the Old Testament and one verse from the New Testament. And now, listen. Okay, it's going to really clarify things. What is the truth? Old Testament Jeremiah 10:10 says, listen, but the Lord is the true God. He is true, fact, reality, and he is God, fact, reality. Second, it says, but the Lord is the true God, and he's the living God. He is living, he's alive. He is in existence, and he is God. Third, and the everlasting king. He is everlasting, and he is king, and he is God. Jeremiah 10:10, Bible clearly states that. What about in the New Testament? 1 Thessalonians 1:9 pretty much repeats what Jeremiah said, that God is the living and true God. God is the living and true God. Can I just pause for a second? Do you believe what you believe is really real? Now, don't lose me, people. Do you really believe what you believe is really real? Let me ask you, do you believe afterlife and judgment? Do you? I think that's a fair question to ask. Do you kind of believe that's like 80% probably true, but mainly what other knowledge that you attain from this world, from science and isms and ideology makes up the whole truth? Is that what you believe? Does that make any sense then? It doesn't make any sense. Do you believe what you believe it is really real? Do you believe a judgment? Do you believe? No, Bible clearly says, Hebrews 9:27, all men are destined to die, and after death, and there is a judgment. You're going to stand before the judgment of God. Either you believe that, or you don't believe that. You're taking either this path, or you're taking a different path. And you just kind of keep going, right? So, Old Testament and New Testament, what about Jesus? Pastor June quoted today in our prayer meeting, Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 3, eternal life is this, to know God who is the only true God. Only true God. What is the scripture saying? What is Jesus saying? Can you trust what Jesus say? Is he truthful? Is he kind of giving 80% truth and 20% myth? Can't be, right? He said, God is the only true God. In other words, there is no one else. There is no other God. In spite of what other religions say, in spite of what other isms say, in spite of what you believe, Bible clearly speaks, there is only God and only true God, which means he is true, which means he is a fact and he's a reality, regardless of what you think. Were you even in existence 80 years ago? Who are you to say what is real and what is not true? What is not real then? How about in about 50 years? Oh, let me give you 100 years. Will you be in existence? Will you be real? Will you be a fact? Bible says he is eternal fact. He is the eternal real reality. Okay? So sum it up. Bible's testimony is the Lord is the true God as opposed to false gods. Lord is the living God. He's alive. Am I alive to you? Right? I'm alive. He's alive. He's a living God. And he's the everlasting God. I am not, but he is. But he is. Okay? Jesus himself, who is God. Therefore, he could only speak the truth. He has to be truthful, says God is the only true God. Okay? So the scripture attests, it's not an imagination. God is not an imagination. It's not something, if you say there is, there is. If you say he's not, then he isn't. It's not that. He is reality. He is a fact, and he's the true God. It's not imagination. It is not fabricated. He's not a fake. He's not, imagination or delusion. But he's the reality, and there is none like him. That's where we begin. He is true. Second question I want to ask you is he truthful? What's the difference? We talked about existence. Now we talk about character. Is he truthful, or is he kind of lie at times? Is God 80% truthful and 20%, we don't know, up in the air? No. When we say God is true, that means he speaks and he acts only in the realm of truth. Whatever he speaks is the truth. Whatever he acts and does is the truth. And that's how it is. Does that make sense? Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9, kind of sums up everything. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. Not only he is true God, he's sovereign. Okay? Declaring the end from the beginning. And from the ancient times, eternally past, he's the beginning of all things, all existence, all realities, to things that yet not seen, saying, my counsel, my purpose, my plan shall stand. No apologetic thing statement about this. My purpose will stand. Will your purpose stand? I don't think so. Some of the things, maybe. But I don't think so. But he's saying, my purpose will stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. That's omnipotent, that's omniscient, that's holy, sovereign, everything God. Not only is true, but that's the God the Bible speaks about. Do you believe that God? Or do you believe a different kind of God? Seriously, what is the truth? That's the truth, people. Psalm 119, kind of sum it up, okay? Psalm 119 is a very special psalm, speaks about the Word of God. The entire 170-some verses is about the Word of God. If you're, reading Psalm 119 that day, you're gonna just take it easy. It's going to take a while, right? But it is everything about how wonderful, how trustful, how magnificent, how real, how powerful, how beautiful the Word of God is. And it sums up with this statement. Verse 160, the sum of God's Word is truth. Okay, that's option number two, people. Sum of God's Word is truth. All men are destined to die. And then there would be a judgment. Truth. Reality. Fact. I don't believe it. Truth. Reality. Okay? Afterlife, whoever believes in me will live forever. Shall never die. Is that a truth, a fact, reality, or is that a myth? It's a fact, reality, truth. Do you believe in the truth? Right? That's the Old Testament summary. What about the New Testament? We just read it. 17:17. Jesus said, sanctify them in the truth, and your word is the truth. Jesus, logos, is aletheia. The truth is God's word, both with definite article. Who's saying that? Jesus. Is he bluffing? Is he just being kind of like exaggerating? He could only speak and he could only act in the realm of truth. What he speaks is the truth. What he sees is the truth. Okay? So we come to this point. God's word is the truth. And, you know, a statement that Jesus made, who is Jesus and why did he come into this world? John's gospel explained that, interestingly, he is the word. He is the Hologos. In the beginning was the word, Hologos, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Isn't it interesting? Word is the truth, and he is the word. Isn't it kind of, that makes sense when Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Okay, so who is Jesus? In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. And he is the truth incarnate. Truth incarnate. Verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, full of grace and full of truth. 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 Okay. Verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came. Truth came through Jesus. Again, I want to take you back to John chapter 18, when Pilate said, are you a king? Who are you? And Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world, but I came into this world. For this purpose I was born, and that is to bear witness to the truth. Meaning, without him coming, people are in darkness without the truth. You really don't know. But you may be saying, oh, that's so exclusive. That is not the postmodernism that we are swimming in right now. Well, you discern it. What is the word of the truth and what is the cultural truth? You have to decide it, which path you're going to take. Three paths, right? Only one leads to home. The other two will get you really lost, right? And then he said, everyone who is of the truth will listen to me. Wow, it can't be more offensive than that. In other words, if you're not listening to the word of Jesus, you do not know the truth. What's the opposite of truth? Lies. This world is full of lies. Okay. Here. Has God spoken to God's people in this book, Jim Boyce? Okay, that's a pretty reputable name. James Boyce. If so, then we must clear and say, let God be true and every man a liar. Oh, that's provocative. That is so radical. And then he says, churches are going to have to recapture that outlook. Otherwise, you're not going to be a church. You're going to be the world. That's what he's saying. What is he saying? Let God be true and every man a liar. Is all the ism and all the ideologies, is that from God or is that from men? You have to discern that, people, or else it's all up for grabs. If God's word says the sum of God's word is the truth, it cannot, what's something that is contrary to the word can be truth. That's contradiction. I cannot be here and not here at the same time. I'm being philosophical today. Yeah. I cannot be here and not here at the same time. He cannot be true and wrong at the same time. When Jesus said, when the word of God says, some of God's word is truth, and Jesus said, your word is the truth. It cannot be truth and a lie at the same time, which means God is true. If God is true, man that contradicts the word of God is lies. You know what? This world is full of lies. Be careful, people. Do you remember the origin of sin? Genesis chapter 3. Okay? Sin came into this world, and how do you recall? God said, if you eat of this tree, you will surely die. Satan comes and basically kind of tempts and kind of like just poking on the side. Did he really say that? What is he doing? He is testing the veracity, the goodness of God. Did he really say that? Why did he say that? Injecting doubt and let you doubt about his goodness. Did he really say that? But the object is God's word. And then what did woman say? Oh, you shall not eat of it nor touch it. Is that true? That's a lie. Lie brought sin. Let me ask you a second question. In this world, who is in control according to Jesus and the Bible? Satan. And who is Satan? Father of lies. Father of lies. We are living in a time where we're fighting for the truth, people. We are living in a time we are fighting for the truth. People think this is the truth, and people think this is the truth, and that's why we're fighting. Right? But what is the truth? Scripture says, your word is the truth. I personally believe it's not just 21st century Western fight. It's the fight of humanity since from the beginning. Paul certainly fought for the truth against the old Gnostics and Judaizers and antinomianism. It's all about the truth. That's why when he was finishing up his ministry, handing the baton over to Timothy, guard this truth. Guard this truth. I personally believe when he said, I have fought a good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept my faith. Now the crown of righteousness is waiting for me. It's sort of like the last statement, epitaph of his tomb, his life. His fight was for the truth. Truth. My brothers and sisters, listen to me. If you take the wrong path, it's not going to get you home. It's not going to get you home. Okay? Third and final point is sanctify them. Sanctify them. Hagiazo is the same word as consecrate or separate and make holy. Basic idea is separate them. Let me explain something. In the Old Testament, something is holy and someone is holy. When something, say a lamp, is separated for the purpose of sacrifice in the temple, that's a holy temple, set apart for the purpose of God. And someone is separated for the purpose of sacrifice and worshiping God, and that's a holy priest. Do you get it? That whole idea is set apart, separated. Now Jesus is praying that you would be separated for God's purpose. That's his prayer. That's what he's praying for. He's not praying that you would become a nice mother, nice doctor. You don't have to. You do not have to succeed in this world the way this world considers success. But he wants you to be set apart for a purpose. What's the purpose? It's clearly stated in the next verse. What's the purpose? Sanctify them in the truth, and your word is the truth. And the purpose is just as, kathos, another kathos statement, just as you send me into this world. Just as the reason Father God sent Jesus into this world. Now get this, I am sending you into the world. Remember that? For this purpose I was born, for this purpose I came into this world. To make truth known to you. Now, for the same purpose, I am sending you. Jesus is sending you. Jesus is praying for you that you will send into the world for the same purpose. I hope you get this. I think this is the most important verses in the Bible. 17, 18, 19. It tells you who you are, what the purpose of your life is. It tells you how to be a sanctified people, God's people. And it tells you the gospel. Okay. Mom, if you take that path, you're not going to go home. Honey, speaking to my wife, if you take that path, you're going to get lost. You're not going to go home. Son, if you take the path, you're not going to go home. you're not going to see Father. We testify the truth to people. That's the purpose why we exist. Don't think of it as, oh, I need to teach the Bible to so many people, truth, sophisticated knowledge. No, 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 no. Jesus is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. Do you get it? I am the way and the truth and the life. What did he say afterward, after that? No one can come to the Father except through this way. Can I ask you, is that truthful? Is that true? Is that truth? I ask in three different ways. Is that true? Is that going to be the reality? Is it going to be the fact? Is he truthful? Is he being really telling you the truth, or is he lying to you? Or is that the truth? And you must answer, people. You can't just kind of like, oh, whatever, whatever. Man, you're taking a huge chance about your life and eternity. Right? Sanctify them by the truth, and your word is the truth. And what's the purpose? Just as Father has sent me into this world. Do you notice the prepositional phrase changes? Out of this world, into this world now. They're not of this world, but now we are sending them into the world. Do you get this? This is the truth, people. That's what Jesus is praying for. Purpose of bearing witness to the truth. D.A. Carson says, separation, sanctification, okay, is always for the purpose of mission. Isn't that what happened in Isaiah chapter 6? When Pastor June preached, Isaiah saw the holiness of God. Wow. I'm a man of unclean lips. My people are people of unclean. They're liars, in other words. I'm a liar. Unclean lips. Now what am I going to do? Lord sent his seraphim and just with a burning coal cleanses his lips. Purify him, sanctify him. Right? And then you know what happens afterwards? God says, whom shall I send? Who will go forth before me? Sounds like a mission. And Isaiah said, here I am. Send me. Send me. I hope you get this. I really do pray that you get this. You know what the purpose of salvation, sanctification is? It's for mission. They cannot be a different thing. Set apart for his purpose. That's what sanctification is. That's what holiness is. That's what it means when the Bible says, be ye holy as I am holy. Can I just share that? Here we go. Moral overtone in our English words, holy and sanctification, emerges only at that point, i.e., ideally, if someone is set apart for God and God's purpose alone. That person will do only what God wants and hate all that God hates. That's what it means to be holy, as God is holy. That's what Christianity is about, people. That's what Christianity is about. Let me close with the climax of the closure of Jesus' prayer for his 11 disciples is verse 19, and that's the gospel. Okay? Gospel is for their sake, for them, true followers of Christ, for them, I sanctified myself. It's the same word. I separated myself. Wait a minute. Isn't Jesus holy? Yes. So we're not talking about moral, sinful, so he's repenting, turning from sin kind of like, you know, sanctification. But what is he saying? I am separating myself for the purpose of obeying God. The last thing that he needs to obey, which is what? To take up the cross. For them. So that they may be sanctified. Without the cross, without atoning work of Christ, which no one else can do. No one else. No one else qualifies to do. We cannot be his people. We haven't even begun. So there is the gospel right there. For their sake, I separate myself. I sanctify myself. I consecrate myself. I make myself holy so that they will be holy just as I am holy. It's an amazing, amazing prayer, isn't it? This is the prayer, people. If Jesus is praying, is he being truthful? Or is he lying? If Jesus is praying, will it be answered? Or will it just kind of go into smoke? I believe it'll be answered. I really do. If he's praying, if he's stating, that is the truth. That is the reality. Mom, you take this path. Work 7 days a week. Don't worship God. It's not going to take you home. You're going to have to tell them. You take this path, honey. All you think about is this world. You're going to get lost. You're going to get lost forever. Son, listen to me. You take this path. You think you're going to gain the whole world, but you're going to lose everything, including your life. Bearing the truth, people, until his time. Sanctify them by the truth, and your word is the truth. Let's pray.